Coming up on KSDP News, state lawmakers are flirting with a government shutdown. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. 75 years ago, almost 900 Unangan people were removed from their homes by the U.S. government and interned in southeast Alaska. Officials say they were trying to protect native communities from the Japanese during World War II. But the Unangah were forced to live in crowded camps with little access to food, water, or medical attention. This week, we're hearing from Unalaskan descendants of the evacuees as they reflect on that difficult history and ensure it's not forgotten.
Well, my name is Ariel Hernandez now, but it was Gustafson, but my mom's last name is Shapsnikov, so people might know me by a few different names.
Ariel's late maternal grandparents were interned during the war, but she doesn't know many of the details.
I don't remember which one was from which village, but one of them was from Kashiga, and I think the other one was from Makushin. And that's all I know. I don't know if they met before the war or after or what year they got married. I just know that they were both evacuated and that none of them would talk about it.
For Ariel, the effects of that family history didn't register until recently, when she wrote a class paper on historical trauma. The assignment triggered a memory of her grandmother, specifically her grandmother's reaction to hearing Unangam Tenu, the native language she lost after the war.
I came home, I was in like kindergarten, maybe younger, but somewhere around that age group. I came home and I was like, Grandma, look, I can count to 10 and, you know, alley-oop. And so I did. And she started crying, and I didn't understand, and I just never thought about it again until last year writing that paper, and then I'm like, light bulb, I get it, that's why she was crying, because she was forced to speak English.
The memory got Ariel thinking, how would she have fared if her generation had been forced to leave their homes?
If that would have happened today, like, yeah, I'm Aleut and white, but I'm enough so that I would have been evacuated, and like, if we were alive back then, it would have meant that me and my mom and both of my brothers would have had to leave, but my dad would have had to stay. Like, how crazy is that? That could tear apart, you know, mixed families.
The war also tore apart communities. Kashiga and Makushim were never permanently resettled, so Ariel's family made their way to Unalaska, where she was born and raised.
Just crazy to me, and to think that there was people that never got to go back home to their village. I'm just glad that hopefully I'll never have to know what that's like, you know. And so I even made a long Facebook post about my grandparents one year and posted their wedding picture and said, you know, I'll never get to ask them about it and I'll never know what it was like. But I'm glad that they met and that they gave me my mom and, you know, her siblings.
That was Ariel Hernandez of Unalaska. Tomorrow, we'll hear from Sandra Moeller as we finish our series of descendants on the Unangah who were interned during World War II. Two fishermen have pleaded guilty in Unalaska District Court after violating commercial fishing rules in the Aleutian Islands. Last week, the court ordered Michael Mayberry of Lake Stevens, Washington, to serve 1 year of probation and pay more than $2,000 in fines and restitution for falsifying his fishing license. The court also fined George Yoder of Port Townsend, Washington, more than $3,000 for fishing without a valid permit. Yoder was sentenced to 1 year of probation as well. Meanwhile, Alaska wildlife troopers have cited Antoly Martushev of Wasilla for commercial fishing without a license near King Cove. Martushev is due in court in Sandpoint next month. The governor's office and the Department of Administration are warning of a potential government shutdown. The office sent emails yesterday to state employees explaining the situation. Lawmakers have not yet passed a budget for 2018. They are still meeting in special session, grappling with a multi-billion-dollar budget deficit, and the new fiscal year starts in just over a month. If lawmakers don't reach a compromise before then, a government shutdown would start on July 1st. Yesterday's notices gave state employees a month to prepare for potential layoffs. Meanwhile, the Department of Administration is expected to send about 18,000 notices today. That figure doesn't include the university system, legislature, and courts, which must notify their own employees. And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.